You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. Michael Oshawa gets in an argument with another Texas driver while sitting at a red light. The two argue through the open car windows and then get out of their cars when the argument escalates. But Oshawa is armed with a machete. Bystanders call 911 as he takes several slices at the other guy, slashing him across the chest once before cops arrive and break it up. The victim, 55, rushed to the hospital in serious condition.
Nancy, it's unclear what the two drivers argued about that led to this physical confrontation. The victim, 10 years younger than his assailant, has now been released from a New Braunfels hospital in good condition. Oshawa has also been released from the Comal County Jail after he posted a $50,000 bond.
Michael Oshawa, 66, now charged with ag assault with a machete. Florida cops track down Quinay Toussaint, wanted for ag assault with a deadly weapon. They track her to a second-floor Tampa apartment. When deputies knock on the door, she answers, then slams the door in their faces, locking herself in a bedroom. When they get through the doors, they find Toussaint trying to crawl out a window. They hoist her back into the room before she's placed in handcuffs and loaded in the back of a cruiser with no further incident. More crime and justice news after this. Now with the latest crime and justice breaking news, Crime Online's John Limley.
The criminal case against actor Alec Baldwin, stemming from the tragic shooting on the set of the film Rust, has come to a sudden close. As Sidney Sumner of Crime Online tells us, the case focused on the handling of bullets from the start and ended for the same reason.
Nearly 3 years ago, cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed on the New Mexico set of Rust. Authorities were consumed by one key question: how did live, lethal rounds end up among the blanks and dummy rounds traditionally used in movie gunfire and then into the revolver Baldwin was handling? On Friday, new evidence presented by Baldwin's attorneys led to the judge ruling that prosecutors had improperly failed to share this evidence. This resulted in the dismissal of Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial. The evidence included ammunition turned over by a man who walked into the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office in March. The trial's abrupt end leaves uncertainty about whether Baldwin's defense would have clarified the origins of the live rounds or added more confusion. However, the dismissal closed off a critical avenue for addressing this question. Special Prosecutor Carrie Morrissey and other authorities are nearly certain about who brought the live rounds onto the set, even if they are unclear how they ended up in Baldwin's revolver. They point to Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the film's armorer, who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in March and sentenced to 18 months in prison. Testimony last week from a crime scene technician revealed photos on Gutierrez Reed's cell phone showing her with the box where the bullets came from. Additionally, Seth Kenny, who supplied the firearms and some of the blanks and dummy rounds for Rust, testified that Gutierrez Reed had contacted him about using live ammunition with the prop guns on a different film shortly before Rust. Baldwin's lawyers argued that authorities had not thoroughly investigated Kenny and had an overly cozy relationship with him. They suggested this might have led to an oversight of his potential responsibility for the live rounds. However, the trial ended before this defense could be fully explored. Police and prosecutors maintain there is no evidence that Kenny was responsible. Kenny testified that he was certain he had not provided the live ammunition.
Gutierrez Reed is currently appealing her verdict, and her lawyers plan to file a new motion to dismiss following the Baldwin ruling.
Thanks, John. Jasmine Purvis, 29, on edge after witnessing a friend's murder. Weeks after the attack, she calls her grandpa from her boyfriend's Jackson, Mississippi home and asks to be picked up as soon as possible. While grandpa's on the way, she calls back several times within 15 minutes, pleading for him to hurry. When he gets there, she's gone. Her boyfriend says she got another ride and plans to call granddad later. But she never calls. Her phone goes straight to voicemail. She's last seen getting into a dark blue Chevy Tahoe driven by an African-American male. Jasmine, African-American, 5'4", 120 pounds, black hair, although typically her head is shaved, brown eyes with glasses. Jasmine Purvis, now missing over 3 years. If you have info on Jasmine Purvis, call Hinds County, Mississippi Sheriffs, 601-974-2900. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.